10. Psalm 23, and then John chapter number 10. We're going to conclude, Lord willing, our message on sheep. And I've enjoyed this study. I don't know if you have, but I've enjoyed it. And I appreciate what the Lord has done for us who are saved in calling us His sheep. And may I say, it's a blessing and a privilege to be a sheep in God's fold. No doubt about it. And we appreciate how good He's been to us. Psalm 23 and then John chapter number 10. Let's pray together. I want to bring us all up to par where we are. And then we will start right where we left off last time. Our Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for this good number that's come out to Your house. I pray that You'll bless this Bible study tonight. I pray that You'll help us and encourage us. And may we see You a little bit clearer than we ever have before. Thank You for Your goodness in our lives. And would You forgive our sins? Forgive me. Help me to be clean. Help this message to be clear and understandable, we pray. Help me to teach it. Help me to preach it with power, I ask. And may You bind Satan and his evil spirits in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you know, within the pages of God's holy word, He's given His children a list of different names by which we're called. And as we consider these different names, we can see some great truths about who and what a child of God is. At the same time, through these names, we can also see how great our God is and how good He is to His children. Now, in Psalm 23 and John chapter 10, He likens His children to sheep. And let me say here again, I've said this twice before, but sheep come in all different sizes, shapes, and colors. They can vary in different kinds of wools and so on and so forth. And I'd like to say here again that it's the same way in God's family. You know, it's a great thought to think that those people who are in Brazil and those people who are in the Ukraine and those people scattered abroad around the world, if they're saved, they're a sheep just like you and I are. I mean, different sizes, different shapes, different colors, but all in the fold of God's family. And as we consider sheep in God's word, we look at this, that this is one of the names that He has given to us who are saved. Now, let me just reemphasize some things that we've already said. First of all, sheep have a nature. Now, there's a reason why God told us that we're like sheep. There's a reason He didn't call us lions and He didn't call us foxes or doves. There's a reason He didn't call us, things like a bear or something like that. There's a reason He called us sheep. And it could be because a sheep has a nature. And its nature, first of all, sheep are helpless. The sheep by itself cannot make it on its own. And in the same way, you and I cannot make it without Jesus Christ. Number two, the sheep have a tendency to stray. It's interesting that even though the sheep is helpless, it has a tendency to wander off on its own. Does that not sound like you? Does that not sound like me? That means whenever we're confronted, whether we'll go God's way or our way, so many times we have a tendency to stray and to do our own thing. Thirdly, they're safer in a group. And in the same way, God has made us to where we are safer among other Christians. That God has made us a family of God, and He's telling us this in the name sheep. Secondly, the second thing we've been studying in this is that sheep not only have a nature, but sheep number two have a need. Now, we do know that sheep have many needs, plural. But understand the point I'm trying to get across to me and to this dear church here is that really sheep, spiritually speaking, only have one need. And the need is the shepherd. Because every need that the sheep has is fulfilled in the shepherd that the sheep it pretty much belongs to. Now that being the case, we've been studying our shepherd of our souls. His name is Jesus Christ. And there's several things that summarize our shepherd with us, his sheep. Number one, under this, he owns the sheep. And we know that just like a literal shepherd goes out and buys a sheep with money, or whatever the case may be, Jesus Christ paid his precious blood and he bought us so we can become his sheep. Number two, he knows the sheep. A shepherd knows the individual sheep that's in his fold. In other words, it's interesting how he can point at one and say, if you'll look behind that one's ear, there's a cut behind it. If you look at that one's leg, there's a scratch on it. A shepherd knows his sheep. And in the same way, God knows all about us. And that ought to encourage our heart to realize that if nobody else knows what's going on, God knows all about it. He knows the sheep. Thirdly, he provides for the sheep. It's not the sheep's responsibility to provide for the shepherd. It's the shepherd's responsibility to provide for the sheep. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad I do not have to provide for God. I'm glad he provides for me. Then number four, we've already studied that he restores the sheep. And in this we see that sheep sometimes become cast or turned over on its back, and it cannot get up on its own. And if it's not helped to get up, then it will die in that position. And we see our shepherd restoring the sheep by coming to the sheep and tenderly rolling the sheep over and tenderly just kind of straddling the sheep and rubbing the legs and speaking to the sheep. We see that when we're cast, that we're in a helpless position, that when we put ourselves in a place that we can't get up, God shows on the scene and God restores our soul. Then the next thing we notice is that he leads the sheep. And he leads the sheep by his voice. And in the same way, we need to make sure that we are following the voice of Almighty God. If anything contradicts this book, don't do it. Don't do it. If anything contradicts this Bible, don't believe it. Go with the voice of Almighty God. He leads the sheep. Then the last thing that we looked at is he comforts the sheep. And this is in the story of his rod and his staff. How his rod was used to correct the sheep and to count the sheep, but the staff was used to draw sheep into an intimate relationship, not only with its own family members, but also unto himself. Now, we come to the next point tonight, and we look at Psalm 23, verse number 5, and that is the shepherd, Jesus Christ, protects the sheep. We see this in Psalm 23, verse 5. Look at it. The Bible says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Now, what does that mean? We need to understand that sheep have many enemies. I'm talking about many predators that are out to eat them alive. They have coyotes and mountain lions and wolves and domestic dogs, and a shepherd will risk his life to protect the sheep from these enemies. You know, it's been reported here that sheep no doubt need the shepherd. I'll tell you why. One afternoon, a shepherd came upon two coyotes that had crept right into the midst of the flock. And these two coyotes had literally killed one of the baby lambs. And they were feasting upon that lamb. Guess what the other sheep were doing? They were standing around watching it. Now, what in the world does that mean? Are you listening to me? That means, excuse me, they're stupid. That means they don't realize they're in danger. If they don't hightail it out of there, it might be them that they're getting ready to be feasted on. And in the same way, we need Jesus Christ. You need to understand something, and I do too. This is so much against, self-esteem and all this kind of stuff. See, people don't like to swallow that they need something. Let me tell you something. You don't need something. You need someone. His name is Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you this tonight, that Jesus Christ protects his sheep. Amen. And let me say this to you also. If he did not protect us, there wouldn't be one of us here tonight. Not one of us. Thank God he protects his sheep. Now, I told you to turn to John chapter 10. I want you to look at it now and look at verse number 7. "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Now, it's interesting here that God says, Jesus says, "I am the door." Now, what does that mean? You know, this is a blessing that I'm getting ready to share with you here. But one of the ways that the shepherd would protect the sheep is by putting the sheep into a pen. In other words, he would put them in a surrounding type thing. But it's interesting that a visitor went to the Holy Land and found a sheep pen. And he said to the guide, quote, "There must not be any wild animals around here at all, because I notice that on your sheep pen there's no gate, there's no door." The old deeply tanned shepherd said this. He said, "I'm glad to tell you about the sheep today, but want to tell you that I am the gate. That opening is where I sleep at night." Stay with me here. You know, it's dangerous to sleep in the opening, because the sheep are wanting to get out, wolves are wanting to get in, thieves are wanting to dome in and take the sheep, but the shepherd is the door to the pen. Now stay with me here. What Jesus Christ is saying is nobody can get out and nobody can get in unless they go through me first. Amen. And what I'm saying to you, what he's saying here, is that there's nobody going to get in my pen unless they come through me first. Because I am the door, I am the gate, and they must come through me. And may I say something to you, that 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." May I say, safety is in staying in the pen. Stay in the pen. And Jesus Christ is the door, and he will see to it that you're protected. The shepherd, our great shepherd, protects the sheep. The next thing we come across is back in Psalm 23 and verse number 5, and that is the shepherd anoints the sheep. We see this in verse 5 of Psalm 23. The Bible says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil." Now, every now and then, when things are great, parasites attack sheep, especially in the summer months. In other words, they range from warble flies to bot flies to heel flies to nose flies to deer flies to black flies to mosquitoes to gnats. Now let's just take one of these parasites. Notice the nose fly. Now listen, this nose fly, for instance, will attempt to lay its eggs on the nose of the sheep. If it is successful, these eggs will hatch, and worm-like larva will work its way up the nose, up the nasal passages, and cause intense irritation and inflammation. It's interesting, when this happens, just to get some relief, the sheep will sometimes beat their heads against trees. Sometimes they'll beat their heads against rocks. Sometimes they'll beat their heads against posts and against brush. In other words, this distraction and this distress are caused leading them to weight loss and to possibly death, because it distracts them from what they should be doing, like eating and drinking, and they're so consumed with the pain and the irritation that they're beating themselves slap silly. That's exactly what the devil's trying to do to you, by the way. And the cure for this is the application of oil to the head. When applied, the aggravation was gone and peaceful content came. This application had to be repeated over and over and over again. Question: what is oil a picture of in the Bible? The Holy Spirit of God. And let me say something to you. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, "Be filled with the Spirit." And may I say this to you? We must have the Holy Spirit's anointing and power in our life to live in a world of distraction and still have peace. Amen. It is so vitally important that we spend time with God every day, and we get in the Bible and we pray and we desire and ask God to fill us with His Spirit, because the oil of His anointing will keep the nasal flies from burying themselves in our head. You have got, and I have got, to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. We've got to have God's power. You have to have the Holy Spirit helping you and encouraging you and guiding you. Why? Because there's parasites all over the place that the devil's trying to get to embed in you and trying to distract you when you should be doing this. He's got your mind on that. When you ought to be out winning souls, you can't focus on that because you're worried about what's going on in your life. And you can't think about that because this is on your mind. And you're worried about that, so your Bible reading suffers. You're worried about that, so your prayer life suffers. You're worried about that. See, that's how the devil works, folks. And God says, just like He anoints the head with oil, we must be anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. We've got to have His power to make it in a world of parasites. That's the second thing we look at tonight. He protects the sheep. He anoints the sheep. By the way, another possibility here. In other words, nobody really knows exactly what this means with just being dogmatic about it. But another possibility here is the scab. It's interesting that the scab on sheep are a highly contagious disease that's caused by a microscopic parasite and spreads through contact. It's amazing how this applies spiritually to our lives. It could be talking about the scab that is formed through these microscopic parasites, and this scab is spread through contact with other sheep that have it. That's why you need to stay away from worldly friends, young people. Amen. I'll amen my own preaching tonight. I'm telling you, if you get around people who are contagious and they have scab, spiritually speaking, it'll rub off on you. Some people think, well, I'll just rub off on them. Wrong. More than likely, they're going to rub off on you. And I'm saying to you, that's all, and He anoints my head with oil. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to make it in this life. Then there's a third thing that we see tonight. Only have two more. Everybody said amen, right? Number three tonight, we see in Psalm 23, verse number 5, that He not only protects and anoints the sheep, but number three, He enjoys the sheep. We see this in the latter part of verse 5. Look at it. My cup runneth over. Now, it came out in my study here that another reason for rejoicing lies in the picture of a cup that has been made to overflow. See, in these days when these verses were penned down, when a guest was sitting with his host in the evening drinking, the host would often rise and refill the glasses. Now, if the host came and only filled the glass half full, it was the host's way of saying, the evening is over, it's time for you to leave. Okay, that's what he was saying. If, however, the host came by and filled your cup full, he was saying, I'm enjoying your company, and I'd like for you to stay with me for a little while longer. Okay? Now, that being the case, right here, the psalmist said, my cup runneth over. In other words, Jesus Christ didn't just fill his cup, he made it to overflow. You know what Jesus Christ is saying here? He's saying, David, I enjoy your company and I hope you will just stay with me a little bit longer. You know what's great to me? There are so many people, and listen, I think all of us may have been there at one time in our life when we feel like nobody cares about me. Nobody cares about me. I'm talking about you feel lonely, you feel depressed, you feel down and out, and I'm here to tell you that God Almighty, your shepherd, Jesus Christ, comes up to you, he sees your cup, and he's pouring out, and he doesn't stop pouring, he just lets it overflow. He's saying, I enjoy you. Man, I enjoy our time together. Good night, would you stay with me just a little bit longer? That's God. You listening? That's what we ought to be doing for him. Get his cup and spend some time with me. Spend some more time with me. God, I'm enjoying it so much. But yet he says, I'm enjoying you. I like you. I enjoy being with you. Now, folks, listen, that's enough to be excited about right there. That God enjoys me. He enjoys me. That doesn't mean he enjoys everything about me, but he enjoys spending time with me. What a blessing. What a blessing. And the last thing I want you to see is found back in the book of John. Chapter 10. The Bible says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, the last thing I want you to see tonight about the shepherd is he loves the sheep. He loves the sheep. See, the Lord Jesus Christ loves his sheep, and he proved it by what he did for the sheep. He proved it by dying for us. The Bible says in John 15, 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Let me pause and say here, what a shepherd. What a shepherd we have. I mean tonight, I'm talking about he owns me. He knows me. He provides for me. He restores me when I'm cast. He leads me. He comforts me. He protects me. He anoints me. He enjoys me and he loves me. And no wonder he is called the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd within God's word. What a shepherd we have. Since sheep are so needy, they form a special bond with their shepherd. And he's required to get to know them intimately. He knows the ones who prone to wander. He knows the weaker ones. He knows the loyal ones. He knows them all by name. And the sheep, despite their stupidity, become familiar with the voice of the shepherd. They know his sound and they know his smell. And there's a bond between the sheep and the shepherd that just isn't found anywhere else in the world of agriculture. I wonder tonight, do you know him? Do you know Jesus? I'm reminded of a story here where a famous actor was once the guest of honor at a special gathering where he received many requests to recite favorite excerpts from various literary works. And he didn't realize that there was an old preacher there who happened just to be there, and he asked the actor to recite Psalm 23. The actor agreed on the condition that the preacher would also recite it. The actor's recitation was beautifully intoned with great dramatic emphasis, for which he received lengthy applause. Then the old preacher stood up. His voice was rough and broken from many years of preaching, and his diction was anything but polished. But when he finished, there wasn't a dry eye in the room. And when someone asked the actor what made the difference, here's what the actor said. He said, I know the psalm, but that man knows the shepherd. Amen. That makes all the difference in the world. It really does. May I remind you that we can't trust ourselves. Maybe you don't know him tonight. He's available for you. Maybe if you do know him, we have a tendency to stray away from him so many times. I'm not talking about in salvation. I'm just talking about our fellowship, our daily walk with him. Let me ask you a question. Could you be closer to him than you are right now? That's a convicting question. We all have a tendency to stray from him. Have you ever heard how the sheep in the highlands of Scotland are rescued? When they wander off and become stranded? The vegetation on those high places is pretty spare, but yet down on maybe a little cliff about 10 to 12 feet below, there's some beautiful grass growing. And as the vegetation up here kind of gets scarce, these sheep can begin to smell that lush grass. And some of them become so tempted that they will literally jump down and land like a cat on all fours 10 to 12 feet down just to feast on that grass. But when they get down there, they can't get back up. And they begin to eat that grass and eat that grass and eat that grass. You know what the shepherd does? He waits. Because he knows if he goes down there immediately that sheep will pretty much kind of run from him and probably fall to its death. He knows he must wait until that sheep is completely empty of resources.
Now, you know where I'm going with this, don't you?
And it's not long before the grass runs out and there's no water there. And finally, the sheep gets so weak that it can't even stand up. At that time is when the shepherd lowers himself down and grabs the sheep and pulls it to safety. Because he knows if he did it any time sooner, because that sheep is just so enthralled in that grass, he knows if he came any time sooner that it would probably run from him and to its death. But he knows if he waits until it hits rock bottom, till it hits the bottom of the barrel, he knows that's the time to rescue the sheep. Is it possible that in a crowd this size, there may be somebody that has jumped and is eating the grass down below? By the way, if it's not you, I guarantee you there's a lot of us who know people just like that. Amen? And they enjoy that grass, but yet maybe there are sheep in God's family. And maybe you've been praying and nothing's happened. Maybe you've been praying and nothing seems to be happening. Let me remind you that Jesus Christ knows exactly what he's doing. And he hasn't given up on them. He's just letting the ground dry up first. And when they hit rock bottom and there's no more water and there's no more grass and there's nowhere to look up, there's nowhere to look but up, they'll see the shepherd coming down for the rescue. Don't ever give up on a sheep. Keep praying, asking God to search for them and to bring them back to himself. Now, I've got a little something for you. I hope he's available out there. If Brother Billy can hear me, I'd like him to come on in at this time if he wouldn't mind to do that. He's carrying something with him as he comes down the aisle. He's bringing a little lamb up here, and some people are nervous because we're not real sure exactly, you know, what's going to happen. But that's okay. I want him to come up here on the platform if he wouldn't mind doing that. How old is this little lamb? 8 days old, okay? This is a little lamb here. Beautiful little thing. I'd love to know what this little one's thinking right now as it's looking at me, you know? I'm glad I don't know. But I'm trying to paint a picture in your mind. You know, somebody said, I think it was Dr. Curtis Hudson, said he heard that somebody had to hear something 17 times before it registered. Now, I'm not going to preach this sermon 17 more times, folks. You understand? Everybody shouted hallelujah, right? But you paint a picture in somebody's mind, they'll never forget it. This is a picture I don't want you to forget. You know who this is? This is us. When God looked at us, he said, we're a sheep. We're a lamb. When you look at this baby lamb, what do you see? You see a mighty animal that's going to protect itself. Come on, get me, it says. I'll protect myself. No. What do you see? You see an animal that has a nature. This animal's helpless. Helpless. It cannot make it on its own. This animal has a tendency to stray if it's left to itself. This animal's safer in a group if it was out among predators. You know what this animal's need is? Biblically speaking, a shepherd. A shepherd, listen, who'll buy it to bring it to himself. A shepherd tonight, folks, who'll know all about it. That when it gets hurt, knows it. If it's shy, it knows it. Knows all about it. A shepherd tonight that will provide for it and make sure it's got plenty of grass and water. A shepherd tonight that will restore it if it needs to be when it gets older. A shepherd that leads the sheep. This little lamb needs the shepherd that'll comfort and protect it and anoint it when it needs it. And enjoy it, to spend time with it. Notice how it's amazing that at the time I was getting ready to say, notice how peaceful it was. It is peaceful. There goes that illustration. But that's all right. You notice how this thing is completely in the hands of Brother Ford.
Right now, that's the best place for it. Right? Do you think this one may feel a little bit safer in his arms than if he just set it down there? I know if I had to look at you, Brother Littleford, it'd scare me to death, you know? No. What am I saying? Even though it's a little bit nervous, and you can tell that, it feels safe or safer because it's in his arms. You know what we need to do in our life? Jump in the arms of the shepherd. And realize that he enjoys having me there. And he loves me. He cares for me. This is a beautiful animal. Really is. Really is. And when I look at that little precious animal right there, I mean, that's precious, bro. I'm serious. Precious. 8 days old. 8 days old. And when I look at that little animal right there, God says, Jody, when you see that, that's what I see when I look at you. And I'll take care of you. I'll watch over you. I'll anoint you when you need it. And by the way, it's not a bother to me. I enjoy it. That's our shepherd. I hope that this has painted a picture in your mind. I hope it doesn't give us any other pictures to paint in our mind. But I hope that this paints a picture in your mind that you'll never get over. That's you. And may God show us this every day. Now, let me ask you a question. I close. If a lion walked in here and this baby lamb was the only thing in this room, what kind of a chance do you think that baby lamb would have? Not a chance in the world. But you bring a shepherd in here with a gun or whatever the case may be, a cannon, whatever, and that ugly lion sticks his head in, and right here is his lamb. The shepherd steps between the lamb and the lion, and he takes it on. And it'll never get to the lamb without first going through the shepherd. That is who we serve. And may God help us to see ourselves as a sheep. Amen. Let's all bow our heads, please, and close your eyes. Thank you, Brother Billy, for bringing that tonight. We sure appreciate it. Thank you so much for that. That's a sacrifice for him to do that. He had to go get that baby lamb. And I appreciate him being willing to do it. I wonder tonight, do you see yourself as a sheep? You know, it's interesting that the Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. And there's coming a day in Matthew 25:33 where the Bible says he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. You know, there are two types of people in the world. There are sheep and there are goats. It's a privilege to be known as a sheep. Amen? Thank God I'm not a goat tonight. Maybe there's somebody in here tonight, you're not sure that you're saved. You're not sure that when God looks at you that he sees a sheep. Maybe you're concerned that he sees a goat. And that just simply means that you're not in his family, that you're not one of his own. If there's somebody like that, I challenge you this night, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart by confessing your sins to him and asking him to come into your heart and forgive you and be your Lord and Savior. May I remind you, secondly, if you are a sheep, you have a tendency to stray. And no doubt in a crowd this size, maybe there's one, maybe there's two, maybe there's many that has strayed away from the shepherd. Oh, you're still a sheep, thank God for that, but you're not close to him like you need to be, and you realize that there's a lion out there roaring after you. And your safety comes with staying close to the shepherd. Maybe God's dealing with you about that. Psalm 119:176, it says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Call out to him, realizing you're helpless, and he'll come to you. He'll come to you and restore the fellowship that you need so desperately. Then thirdly, let me ask you a question. Are you reproducing? Understand, those that can make sheep are sheep. And just like sheep reproduce after their own kind, God wants his children to reproduce children of God. That doesn't mean you save them, but that means you're the instrument that gives them the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wonder, are you helping to turn goats into sheep? Are you helping to convert them by sharing your faith in Jesus Christ? We don't normally give an invitation, but I want to do this because I finished early tonight. How many would say, Jody, God is speaking to me? Whether you're lost or whether secondly, maybe you're a child of God and you strayed away. Or maybe thirdly, I'm putting all these together. Maybe thirdly, you're convicted because you're a sheep, but you've not done anything to reproduce yourself. You're not sharing your faith. You're not giving the gospel like you should. You're not knocking on doors like you should. Maybe God is speaking to you. If that's you, and God's dealing with you with any of those areas, salvation or straying from Him or going soul winning and reproducing yourself, if God's speaking to you in any of those areas, would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air? Put it up in the air, please. God help us all. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Let me ask you this question. I close. We're going to pray together. Have you say, Jody, I am trying to reproduce myself. Here's what I mean by that. You're trying to tell the gospel to others, whether it be a gospel tract, whether it be knocking on doors, whether it be both, whatever the case may be. You say, Jody, I am trying to reproduce myself as a sheep. If you're trying to do that, and God knows you're trying, would you be honest? Would you raise your hand right now? Would you be an honest person to do that? Wonderful. Great. Good. You can put your hands down. I trust that you'll do more. I trust I'll do more. If you couldn't raise your hand, I trust you'll be able to the next time we ask that question. Let's all pray together, shall we? Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the teaching of your word that we are sheep. Help us never get over the visual picture that's been put in front of us tonight. Help us to see ourselves as that little helpless lamb that was just brought in here just a few minutes ago. I pray that you show us that we need you. We've got to have you. And help us to be busy in reproducing ourselves, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Let's have the bus workers go ahead and be dismissed to the chapel, please. All those who are interested or involved in the visitation soul winning ministry, please just be dismissed now and go downstairs for a brief meeting. And the rest of you, God bless you. Thank you for being here. Have a great night. Thank you for coming.